It is a big transition week for school districts in New Hampshire. By next Monday, they're expected to begin remote learning until at least April 3rd, part of the state's response to the coronavirus pandemic. Districts are communicating with families and teachers about how this will all work, but many questions remain. And HPR's Sarah Gibson has been checking in on schools' progress, and she joins us now. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Rick.
Sarah, what are the major pieces that districts need to figure out all of this week?
So teachers are trying to figure out how to do this remote instruction. For many, it will be a combination of paper packets and online learning, depending on students' access to technology as well as their age. But districts are really having to stand up a whole new system to deliver remote instruction and supports. And so right now, they're surveying families' needs for everything from internet at home, tablets to actually work on, free meal services, and then trying to figure out how to deliver these in the coming days.
Yeah, and where are districts in making sure that students are getting some of those basic services that are usually provided, you know, at the school building itself?
Well, the progress for this really varies by district, but in many, meals are already being provided. So Manchester yesterday set up their system to deliver bagged breakfasts and lunches at bus stops. Claremont and I believe Londonderry are doing a curbside pickup. So basically parents go to the outside of a school, they get those bagged lunches and bring them home. We're hearing that in some very rural areas, there will be home delivery throughout this remote instruction process. And really all of these systems, Rick, are going through a kind of troubleshooting and experimentation process right now. But I think we can expect to see these free and reduced meals delivered pretty much in most districts by next Monday. And then in terms of delivery of tech, a bunch of districts are getting laptops or tablets to students who don't have them at home. But there's this real question of internet connection for so many families. So we're hearing that in Manchester, there may be potentially free new hotspots that Comcast puts up. But then there are places like Berlin where, you know, students might be getting a tablet delivered, but their family doesn't have internet. And even the companies that are offering, you know, free or reduced price internet during this remote learning period, they might not even operate in places like the North Country or parts of Southwest New Hampshire. So you can have all the tech you need and want, but if you don't have good internet access, it's going to be really hard to do remote learning.
Yeah, and this comes back to a problem that we've had for a long time with rural broadband access.
Yeah, exactly.
Sarah, one of the major concerns that we've heard from listeners is about what remote learning will look like for students with special ed needs. Do you have a sense of what that's going to look like?
We have some sense. So there's guidance coming out from the Department of Education that this will be a three-tiered system. So in some instances, it'll be totally remote. A student will have check-ins from their specialists and their paraeducators throughout the day. In other instances, it'll be a cohort model in which students will go in small groups to the school building itself to get things like physical therapy or occupational therapy. And if neither of those is going to work out, there's something called compensatory services, where basically the district determines and the family determines, you know, this student is not going to get the services that they are legally entitled to right now. So we're going to have to make up for that, say, in the summer or in the fall. Districts are telling me that's potentially going to be an additional and significant cost for them moving forward. And schools right now are going through a roster of all their special ed students to really figure out what those plans are and how they can be delivered at these different tiers. And I'm talking a lot of students. There are about 30,000 students in New Hampshire who get special ed services, and these plans need to be really examined. And Rick, right now, there's a ton of confusion and frankly, some alarm I've been hearing from parents about what this is actually going to look like for their kids. I'm hearing from parents who are being told, hey, we're going to deliver physical therapy and occupational therapy remotely. Or others who are saying, my child has significant behavioral issues that are part of their special ed needs. There's no way I can take care of those while I'm also working from home or at work. And we're really getting a sense right now that in order for this to work for a lot of special ed students, there's a real high level of participation and knowledge needed by the parents to kind of get a sense that, oh, that 30 minutes per day of reading specialist that my kid is supposed to get, oh, they're not getting it? Okay, I need to get in touch with the district about that. So it's a huge ask of districts. It's a huge ask of parents to really ensure that all these services that these kids are legally entitled to actually come through during the remote learning period.
Sarah, there's so many details here. It's still to get ironed out. And of course, everything varies district to district and school to school. What are some of the longer term questions that you think are going to emerge?
Well, one is whether the state assessments will either be canceled or postponed. You know, the DOE uses those every year to see progress and track progress for students, and parents use those as well. But it seems like after April 3rd, the commissioner is going to need to decide whether or not some of those happen this year. Also, questions about AP tests for advanced placement courses, SAT tests. The DOE is in communication with the College Board about those tests. But really, Rick, there's this huge question about the psychological experience for parents and teachers and for students of remote learning. The DOE is putting out guidance for kind of tracking and supporting the mental health of students, knowing that there's going to be a lot of challenges with isolation, with limited socialization for kids, and we just don't really know how that's going to feel and what it's going to look like for thousands of students in the coming week. And then there's also this question of how long remote learning is going to last.
Right.
On April 3rd, we're going to get a check-in from the DOE commissioner and from the state about, you know, is this done or is this just the beginning of a much longer school building closure? So we're going to be looking for that as well in the coming weeks.
And of course, with spring coming, there's graduation ceremonies and there's proms and all kinds of things for some
sure.
high school kids.
Yeah.
There's so much still undecided here, but I know that you'll be watching it and reporting it for us, Sarah.
Sure will.
NHPR's Sarah Gibson, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
It is Morning Edition from New Hampshire Public Radio.